meeting order.
Meeting of the Historic Preservation Commission on Tuesday, November 7th, 2017. It is now 7 o'clock. Calling the roll, Commissioner Prestis.
Here.
Commissioner Popowitz.
Here.
Commissioner Reno Ogden.
Here.
Chairman Zarowski.
Here.
Commissioner Graham White. Commissioner Pritz.
Here.
Commissioner Franek.
Here.
We have a quorum.
Do we have any public testimony?
Tom B.
There we go. I might actually be able to figure this out if you give me 2 seconds.
Sure.
Berzichudek.
Very good. All right. Good evening. What I wanted to bring to the board to the commission's attention is the fact that there is now a Facebook page. It's called 700 William Prairie Homes. It has currently about 16 postings that all talk to the architectural significance of the block and individual homes, some of the backstories, information on the architects, books that have been published that contain information on the block, and other similar information. It is a new public Facebook page. It's available for anyone to look at. You don't need to be a member unless you want to propose that something be added to the page. But I just wanted to bring it to your attention and let you know that it exists.
Cool. Thanks. Thank you. Jan Sager.
Hi, Jan Sager, 435 William. I just joined the group for the 700 William Prairie Homes. They accepted me. So I would urge anyone and everyone to get in on the group. I found out, I don't know if this was mentioned before, the Jeffrey Baer has done so many tours and videos of Chicago area. And the one that he does, Chicago's Western Suburbs from Prairie Soil to Prairie Style, actually speaks to the 700 block of William and says, I think as he quotes, it might be the only still standing planned development, something that was his phrasing. And he speaks about William Drummond maybe being the architect, who knows. But it's at the library, and I'm turning it in tonight, so if anybody's interested. And then the comprehensive plan, I don't know if people have been getting emails for the, what's it called, Jonathan?
There's a town hall event that's open to the public on November 16th.
At Kernicke Hall at Concordia. But Marky and I sat in on the other commissions and boards workshop a couple weeks ago, and just to hear what everybody was saying, and there were quite a few comments about concern over preserving homes in River Forest, and also understanding that, you know, after a while, some people just have been in a home a long time, and they don't have the wherewithal maybe to maintain, and how can we help them? And so that was brought up by one of the commissioners. So anyway, that's all I wanted to say. I think the attending the workshop will be a good idea for residents in River Forest. Thank you.
Thanks, Jan. Anybody else? Approval of meeting minutes. Anybody have any comments?
I have a comment on the minutes for October 5th. And that is on page 5 in the carryover paragraph, the last sentence. I don't think that's quite accurate. Long story short is I agree with Commissioner Pritz that without casting any kind of aspersions, I think it's natural for any commission, anywhere, any applicant before any commission to present materials that are in their favor when they hire a consultant. Nothing other than probably stating the obvious and agreeing with my colleague.
Noted.
I also had a we hug.
There you go.
On the September 26 minutes on page 4 of those minutes, toward the middle, there's a paragraph that begins, Commissioner Prestes asked if the certificate of appropriateness could be issued with conditions. As much as I would be happy to take credit for the idea, I think it was Commissioner Pritz who raised it, and then two paragraphs later it says, in response to the question from Commissioner Prestes, and again, I think it was Pritz, though, if someone would like me to take credit for the idea, I'm happy to do so.
Noted. Thank you.
And in the paragraph after the first one that was noted, there's just a B missing after would.
Is that still page 4?
Still page 4. In response to the question from Commissioner Pritz.
All right, what's going on here?
Commissioner Franek has further shared that the ordinance is
conspiracy
conditions, but that it would be best to get input.
Thank you.
Okay, do I have a move to approve the minutes?
So moved.
Noted. Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? None. Minutes approved. Next on the agenda is a certificate of appropriateness for 230 Keystone.
I'm Tim Okasik. This is my wife, Mary Beth. We live at 230 Keystone. Well, thanks for having us here to explain our project, and thanks for having the process of reviewing and making recommendations. We are, just a simple little project. We're adding a bathroom to the front bedroom on the second floor, and below that, to support it, we had to come up with something else, which is a front hall closet and a laundry room, and we're going to end the task of going up and down the basement stairs to the laundry room and have that now on the first floor. I hope you have the plans.
We do.
We did work with the architect, John Bergstrom, to get as much space out of this as we could without making it look like we were adding on too much that was out of proportion with the rest of the house. And so that was sort of a compromise between the dimension of going out toward the north and fitting in what we needed to fit in to do what we wanted to do with the upstairs expansion of the bedroom into a large walk-in closet and beyond that a bathroom. I think we tried to configure it to be as inconspicuous as possible and to fit in to the lines of the current architecture as much as we could. And try to present some, as many windows as we could to keep light in the house. And I don't think it to us is much more complicated than that, but I'd be interested in a couple of things if you have any questions. One is, tell me something about why the home is so historically important or architecturally important. We'd love to learn more about that. And also, whether you think what we're doing, fits in with what we have. We did put a front porch on a few years ago that we tried to fit in architecturally. I hope it shows up in one of the elevations. And then we did a back patio that we thought fit in pretty good, too.
Yeah, I don't remember you coming before us.
No, we didn't.
For those. It wasn't flagged.
It was a thing that
Well, it actually was, but I think construction process probably was just not as up to speed as they are now.
What was the date of that, please? That porch?
Was it 3 years ago?
Which porch?
The front porch.
3 years ago?
It was about four.
Maybe more.
Oh.
We're getting old. We don't remember these things.
Yeah, so it actually was required, but it not a lot of these things. Just.
Oh, sorry about that. I hope it worked out.
No, it's one of those things. It's not your fault at all. Yeah, because you weren't notified by the village. You know, one thing that I noticed in the plans was that you're adding on a hip roof, and it's the only hip roof that would be on the house. I was just curious. Do you know why your architect was proposing that?
Well, you'll have to help me with some of these terms. Is the hip the
rather than a gable? A gable is like a square triangle. You know,
so
flat
is this
triangle.
Is this the north elevation?
Yeah.
And the fact that it kind of slants backwards.
Right.
All right. I think we settled on that because we thought and the gable is if it would come all the way to the facade, the north facade.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So I think because we thought it would stick out too much, that it would be very top heavy looking at it from the front, and that the hip angle kind of matches the slope of that long roof line to the, you know, that goes down the front of the house. But we were playing a little bit with the roof, mm-hmm. and thinking about, okay, are we going to do this hip roof and maybe put in a skylight? Are we going to put something that looks like a gable on to face the front of the house to sort of match the angle over the front door and the angle at the top of the house just for looks? Or were we going to do that on the north elevation, gable that, and put that same little design that exists at the peak hanging down? Mm-hmm. And, you know, drawing that out and looking at that from the front, it looked just more bulky, and it looked like kind of, there's just sort of a big box on the side of the house without dressing up the roof from the angle of looking at the east elevation. It just looked like a bigger flat surface roof facing the front, and it just seemed like a large mass on top of a small box. That was our impression anyway. Maybe mm-hmm. you had some mm-hmm. other impression.
I would have another impression. But I think that that hip makes it look too much like an addition. It's something just stuck on the side. And the gable to patch, all these beautiful gables you have on this house, a little detail up where the peak meets that comes down. Pick up on that and bring that back to that. I have a big brother, a little brother in the main house, the biggest one at the front. I think it helps to tie it together, especially because I see that thing coming at me when I walk up the street, coming out to the north of the corner. But I think I see that. That's the one at the front and the one next to it here.
Yeah, it's going to be a pretty prominent element.
Yeah, it's hard. The roof doesn't downplay that any more than the gable roof would. I think the gable would tie it in more to the house and make it feel a little more like it belongs with the house.
So a gable on the gable, rather than the hook, on the north elevation?
The gable right up here. We'll just pick up on that detail there.
Yeah.
I might even look
sure.
at
tying in. The other thing, I didn't realize where this is coming from, but you've got double-hung windows everywhere, and these are drawn as casements, which crank out, and the awning's a totally different look than what the house is with all these double-hungs that, you know, all the bay, everything's a double-hung around here. I realize these are probably high because they have laundry stuff behind them, but they went down lower as double-hungs. And I've got some introduction of, looks like some cedar shakes in the above the entry
yes.
front to here. Can we try to tie that together with a little cedar shake panel in here, something that ties this together so it's more of
They're up here a bit, too.
Yeah.
I think that was intended.
Okay,
something under here that.
Mm-hmm. Put some way to tie that in so I get this also, because we're not out of windows here, it's this big mass, a lot of siding without
right.
a lot of glass. I could get some more glass, or even it looks like glass, where it's a trim that wraps around with some cedar shakes in it to give it a feel of what that would look like visually.
So these windows are short and high because this is over the toilet and
mm-hmm.
this is in the
shower.
Mm-hmm. But that's what I'm saying. This could be trim that comes down like that and where it goes across, and this is filled with cedar shakes. It's a decorative element. So visually I read that as a big piece up there now.
Okay.
So put a decorative, trim out a decorative element
mm-hmm.
that ties into
yeah,
this.
Yeah, might tie into that or even just above here. It ties up the cedar shakes above here. I don't know if they're on that gable or not. But some way to tie that together.
So if you look, I think the idea pulling this back was to just try to not have it stick out on the side so much. It would just maybe blend in, but you're saying that that sticks yeah. out anyway.
Yeah,
sticks
out enough. I
understand you're trying to make it less massive. I get right. that, but I think it probably looks more massive than it actually would be in three dimensions. I really think it would count. If you extended the gable, it would complement the house a lot more.
Come up right. that way as well.
And you're not concerned about this big flat roof facing the front without anything like this on it, like
no,
fake gable coming out.
A dormer up there. There's
too busy.
Yeah, you've probably got enough. I mean, my eye goes right to the thing. My big center axis right there. This is a little entry to the side. I think the porch is beautiful, by the way, that you put on down here. That's really a nice tie-in to do that.
So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What do you think of the placement of these windows compared to the rest of the house?
Yeah, again, why these have to be casements? And I realize they're casements probably elsewhere. If those were double hung of a similar shape to these guys.
Well, Ed, we liked the look of those. They're transoms.
Mm-hmm.
And we just thought it was a little bit different and a little bit, you know, it added, I don't know.
Variety.
Right.
Yeah, you've got enough variety going on. We don't need to change the windows to enhance that. The double hungs are a theme that run through. Even the kind of cottage window with that above it would look just really a nice tie-in. So I read those all together as of the same family.
Same with these.
Yeah, same with those. If I could, yeah.
So you can probably bring this down, but this is over the washing machine and dryer.
Yeah, yeah. Is the reason I can't flip the other side of the room there? That was or is that?
Well, we could still. Bring it down and cafe curtain. Maybe we don't have to.
Yeah.
Except I think there'll be a utility thing there, right?
Where you plug in the hose. Could the washer dryer go over here and then that folding counter here or a little window seat and then a folding counter next to that or something so I can bring those down. Because that puts plumbing on the outside. I'd rather have plumbing on the inside of the house anyway and not put the pipes out there on the outside. Freezing purposes. So
for those of us who can't see it.
Yeah, well, why don't you recap?
Recap is that, yeah, to make, oh. to bring this up to a gable to match this guy here.
Yeah, so we're looking at the north elevation.
Correct.
Yeah. And then so the recommendation is to change that hip roof into a gable. Right.
And then
those windows that are.
The windows, there's a lot more siding here than there is window.
Yeah.
So if we could introduce, they've got some little cedar shakes that are around the house.
Yeah.
We could just trim out between those windows and bring something down, look like where a window would be, but have it be in the little cedar shakes so I get a little more visual interest. That emphasizes the center axis of that gable.
Is the recommendation to change the windows, or is the recommendation?
No, windows are there because of what's behind them. It's a bathroom. I don't want to shower. I wouldn't mind, but most people do. So that's and then bring back double hungs.
We're all
the casements are to have double hungs rather than the casement windows, and match those with the cottage type style with the mullions above and the single pane below. So it ties it all together.
I'm sorry, we're recommending that they change the windows?
Just suggestions,
yes.
To a more unified look, consistent across the front, as opposed to something that looks like it's different and accentuates the fact that it's an addition.
Mm-hmm. Any response? How do you feel about the recommendations?
I think they're very interesting, but I would like to know, we'll definitely look at this is something we've been talking about, but why is our house, do you know why our house is significant? Is it just because it's so old?
I can certainly verify the fact that it's very old and everything in it.
So John has your page pulled up. Have you looked at your house in the report?
It's
available online. If you go to the River Forest website, there's actually a historic preservation section, and within that there's also the entire survey that was completed several years ago, and all of the significant properties. There are one or two pages at a minimum of reasons why the people who surveyed all the homes considered your home significant, and John can tell you.
In brief, the home was built here, cited as 1904, and the reasons for the significance, again, the brief version. The home is a late Queen Anne cottage with some Italianate and Greek Revival stylistic elements. It retains a high level of integrity to the day. And then you'll see there, too, there's some other information about the material used, citing the wood shingles and clapboards. And then you'll see some pictures that were taken when the survey was completed.
A little bit of background. If you get on the village's website, click I'm a resident, then go to historic preservation, then you'll see the link to the survey. Survey was commissioned by us as a commission at the request of the village president and the board of trustees, consistent with what's in the ordinance, to get a firm sort of base for the housing stock in the village and in the commercial buildings. We employed two architectural firms, happened to both be local, that had a lot of experience in historic preservation, and they used as standards the 8 standards that were started in, I think, 1965 by the Secretary of the Interior, that are kind of the gold standard for historic preservation in terms of age and context and integrity and things of that nature. One of the things that John mentioned is you've got a couple of different styles going on. So does everyone else. Virtually no structure, with the exception of just a handful, is really only one style. Architects over time tended to blend things together. People made various changes over time, hopefully somewhat consistent. But that's kind of what it is. You can get online and you can view that. If you want to do some further research, you can go to the Historical Society, make an appointment, and they have clip sheets for each block in both River Forest and Oak Park. Various things taken out of the, I think, 8 local newspapers that once covered our area at any given point in time. Things like old for sale listings, pictures, articles, et cetera, et cetera. And you can get some sense about who built your home, perhaps who the original residents were, and subsequent owners. So there's plenty of stuff to get information.
But I think the point is that a house doesn't have to be grand and elegant and
absolutely
over-flowering to be considered a significant property relative to historic architectural historical styles.
Yeah, the east elevation actually is quite beautiful. It's steep pitch in the central bay, and it's
just not a Williamsburg and Mount Vernon.
It's obviously been added on to so many times over the years. I just couldn't understand what kind of...
Well, the Queen Anne is a very accepting style. It's kind of Victorian, which is very accepting to adding things onto it, and things crashing into each other, as long as you're keeping that style and feel. That's part of the style. Okay. It's very accepting that way.
So we just go to the village site?
Yeah, it's vrf.us, and then under the residence section, there's a tab for historic preservation.
Okay.
There's oodles of information on there, but toward the top, you can find the survey. So.
So we're still waiting on an estimate, which we hope is low, which I know is the would be a triumph.
That
of
always
hope,
it always happens.
Would be a triumph of hope
yeah,
over
always,
experience.
Almost
I know.
Always. Yeah.
And your
yeah.
job will be finished before the promised date.
holding out hope against hope for that, our plan was to excavate and start with the foundation before it gets too cold. So what's the process going forward and the hope for doing that?
Well, I guess the question would be, how do you feel about our comments? And because if we're like...
Sounds like there's some conditions involved here that the community...
Yeah, so I guess what we're saying is we're thinking that what you're doing would be more appropriate if you took some of our suggestions into consideration.
I think if you're receiving them, would like to take them back to the architect, I'm sure, to discuss them. What might be best is for the commission to approve the certificate of appropriateness conditional upon the adjustment of the roof to the
roof and the windows.
And then the windows.
So.
And then what would happen is if you guys decided that you wanted to take those comments, you could resubmit the drawings. Chairman Zarowski.
And we wouldn't have to have another meeting.
Right. They would review it as a subcommittee, agree that you've met those, and then the certificate of appropriateness would be issued.
So is this compulsory? Do we have to do this?
You do not.
But we will almost definitely do the windows, and we're very likely to do the gable.
Right. So, yeah. So what we're saying is, if you meet those two conditions, we'll certainly issue a certificate of appropriateness. You won't have to come to another meeting. If you resubmit your drawings, Dave and I will review them and we'll.
Yeah, opine that those are that met. And
it looks like you did what you said you were going to do.
And then we go, does that have anything to do with the permit? Or then we submit the drawings for a permit?
So the resubmittal of the drawings would be through the building department. I would then take those and share them with the commission. And then they, seeing.
Well, we'll do our best to kind of be as, as quick, give you as quick a turnaround as possible. Like if you send a PDF to John. John will bounce them to us, and we'll flip it back.
And you're able to move forward with the building department per usual.
But even so, you could issue a certificate going forward with as recommendations.
Exactly.
Conditional.
Right.
Anyway. All right. Very good. Thanks.
Thank you. Thanks for coming in. Appreciate it.
Yeah, if you don't make the changes, we just won't issue a certificate of appropriateness.
Yeah. So you've met your obligation by attending the meeting. You could pursue it without the certificate of appropriateness, which would come into play when the survey is reconsidered that the home had a modification without the certificate. So but like I said,
we'll submit the plans in a few days.
Great.
That sounds good.
Turn that around in a week or so.
Yeah.
Yep.
Do it a couple
we can
days.
Yeah, we can do it very quickly.
Absolutely. No, it's fine. I understand.
Thanks again for coming.
Thank you.
Thanks for being pushy. Yeah.
Could I hear that motion just for the record?
Motion to approve the certificate of appropriateness conditioned upon a change of the roof line as well as a change of the windows. The change of the roof line to
the gable.
And the windows to double hungs rather than casements.
A second.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Thank you.
Thanks. Okay. Next is 747 William. We need to schedule a public hearing. Did everyone get their copy of the submission?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. The report? Anybody have any questions?
Is this by a licensed structural engineer or is it not?
By my search through the online register of licenses, it is not a structural. He's not licensed as a structural engineer. Given that, I know you guys reviewed the report. The village administrator reviewed the report. The village attorney and the building official both reviewed the report. The village administrator has opined that it meets the spirit of the request and is considering it complete as of October 25th.
So we've got the architect who is in charge of tearing it down and rebuilding a home giving us a report confirming that it should be torn down.
Which I know was discussed at the last meeting.
That's not true.
The architect.
That would probably be the situation.
Yeah. However, it was related at the time.
It was mentioned as licensed engineer, though we were told it was licensed engineer.
Yeah.
We knew that there was a concern over that not being done by somebody hired by the commission. That was a potential risk.
Well, it wasn't a risk. It was said a licensed structural engineer. It's in the notes. That's what was.
But if the village attorney says it satisfies the requirement,
so
that's the risk.
As we talked about the last meeting, the village attorney had opined that it wasn't within the ability to request that material, right? So he was supplying it voluntarily from the start. We knew that from the last meeting.
Agreed.
Given the report received, the village administrator opined that that met the requirement to consider it complete. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I got it now.
Well, he's not a structural engineer from his credentials here, it's obvious that he had spent a lot of time working with older homes, and he comes with experience with working with older homes.
Certainly more experience than that.
Well, yeah, the point is. Yeah.
And the things he points out in the report are known to us.
Yes, correct.
From the tour that we have of the property.
Yes.
I didn't see anything new that was startling.
No.
So, do we want to schedule the public hearing?
In terms of scheduling, I'd like to sort of point a couple of things out, you know, perhaps for the consideration of the commission. One is obviously what you have to do within 60 days of the date that the village has determined that we have a completed application. Secondly, we are coming up to both the holiday season and the snow season. So we probably want to schedule at a time when we could maximize the attendance of various members of the public, because obviously this has generated a lot of comment within the community, as shown within the past several meetings we've had, as well as various other things in the media.
But I'd like to add something to that. I'm not sure if it complements that or if it goes against that. But the certificate is approved as of, not the certificate, but the application is approved as of what date, John? Send me an email.
It's considered complete as of October 25th.
Okay. So October 25th is when the 60-day
clock starts.
And it's also the day of which the six-month clock starts. Right? Because...
Yes, the 25th.
And so maximum leverage in terms of if we decide to go down the path of negotiating with the homeowner... To if he decides to demolish, to build something in the consistent with the nature of the block, is earlier rather than later. The longer we wait, the less
time is money.
The less incentive he has. It's just the way it is. So if we could, I don't know if we have to have the meeting to negotiate with him. You know, if there's a requirement, or if we can start those negotiations now. And have that in our pocket as one of the options at the meeting. But I think that the quicker we have those discussions to see if we can find a path that won't satisfy the owners on the block because they don't want it torn down, but we don't have the ability to stop that.
Right.
So sooner having those negotiations rather than later is important. I don't know how that plays with what you're saying in terms of, you know, the timing of the...
Well, I think you're assuming that that's the only other option that we have.
I am assuming that based on our previous discussion. So if we have another option, I'd love to hear it. But I hear there's three. One is grant the certificate of appropriateness without any conditions. Two is deny the certificate of appropriateness, at which point 6 months from the date of the completed application, the owner can do whatever he wants. And the third is negotiate and grant the certificate of appropriateness on the condition that he meets the negotiated terms. And I thought that we had discussed that those are our only options, or understood that those are our only options.
Well, I don't think those are our only options. The other options would be to try and find someone to purchase the property from them, try to find a way to... And I think there's other creative solutions that exist. So while I understand where you're coming from, I think part of our challenge as a commission is to not just say there's three options. I think it's our duty to kind of put our minds to the test and work with the community to try and find other ways to. Avoid demolition.
So I don't disagree with that, but in the framework of the ordinance, we have certain actions we have to take, and my point is the longer we wait to have the negotiation, that's something we have to agree to the terms. We can have the negotiation and then it's conditioned upon the public hearing.
Yeah, I'm just saying that
we, so, I don't, those are all outside the ordinance.
I don't think one precludes the other, okay?
I don't think that's the intent of the ordinance. I think the intent of the ordinance is that a public hearing be held within 60 days, that at that point in time, submissions are reviewed by the commission at a public hearing. both in terms of public comment and comment by the applicant. We then have a period of 15 days during which we determine a written response to the applicant. If we elect to withhold the certificate of appropriateness, we then can extend a demolition, we can enact a demolition delay for a maximum of 6 months retroactive to the date the initial application was on file with the village, which is October 25th. That is the period during which the negotiations with the developer would occur, not before. There's nothing in the ordinance that talks about it as being before.
There's nothing that precludes it, is there?
No, but I don't think that's the intent of the ordinance.
But intent is one thing, but what's written is the other, right? And what's ultimately, you know, what we have to ultimately act on is what the ordinance says, right?
By stating what is provided within the ordinance, that doesn't mean that everything else is otherwise permissible. To do that would require an exhaustive negation of all potential other outcomes, and that's not the way ordinances are written.
But my point is, the owner of the house, 6 months from October, I'm sorry, 25th, can do whatever he wants.
Correct.
Our period of maximum leverage is as soon after October 25th as we can. In other words, if we wait October 25th plus 5 months plus 28 days, there's no incentive to negotiate because then the owner's given up a right that they're going to get in 2 days, and why should they? Okay. So the quicker we enter into negotiations, the better the opportunity is for the owner to begin whichever work he's going to begin, whether that's demolition or remodeling based on our conversations, knowing that he's going to get a return on his investment sooner. So the longer we wait, the more we give that up, the more we give that up, the less we're in control. And I would like to maintain as much control for the sake of the street as we can, because we can force commitment to the aesthetics of the street.
That assumes that we have all the information presently at our fingertips that we would have after listening to everyone's presentation at the hearing. And I would point out the fact that the village had received, yesterday, a letter from, is it the grandson?
Yeah. Yep.
Of the original architect. So it's clear that we are getting additional information. And I think the purpose is to have as much information as possible, not necessarily say we're talking a thumbs up or a thumbs down. There are a number of alternatives. And what you're suggesting, I think, would preclude possible alternatives that are not presently on our plate.
I'm not suggesting we negotiate and agree to the terms before the hearing at all. To meet your concern, then I would argue for a commission date or a public hearing at the soonest possible date. So I
would disagree that the sooner the public hearing, the better. The sooner the better for this option.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. That's what I'm representing.
Yeah. So I think the other issues at hand, you know, include working with the community to find other options, and so that would suggest as long a period as possible.
Correct.
But why? Because you can work with the people on the street in parallel with all this other activity.
So what I'm saying is, if you think it's in the interest of the community to move forward with negotiations with the developers,
I agree.
Then perhaps that's something that we should talk to the village attorney whether that's appropriate.
That's my question. That's the whole reason I'm bringing this up. The whole question is, clearly I favor as much leverage as possible, but it's got to be within the scope. I understand all that. I'm not precluding any of their options. I think that if we think that we could find another buyer, that would be optimal, right? And I think we should pursue that. But I'm looking at everything from the framework of the ordinance. And the ordinance says some very precise things in terms of when, frankly, leverage shifts from us as the commission to the owner.
Can I just chime in with a couple thoughts, having witnessed the discussion? I think some of the points are predicated on a view that our leverage meaningfully shifts based on 30, 60, or 90 days that we can offer. Maybe it does. Maybe it's a great big deal to the homeowner / developer. Maybe it's not. But to me, that's an empirical question to which I have kind of only a speculative answer. So I'm a little bit reluctant to assume that it meaningfully or substantially affects our leverage. Two, I think there is a predicate question baked into all of this, which is, and we're sort of getting at it, I think, in some ways, but what is the appetite to engage in negotiations about the nature of the teardown / replacement in exchange for a granting of the certificate? Because I can imagine a reasonable member of the commission saying, I have no interest in being complicit in a negotiation that yields some replacement property that meets some criteria in exchange for going along with approving the demolition, which is essentially what we'd be doing, you know, with conditions. But I can imagine a reasonable person saying, I've no interest in that, and I don't think, period. I'll stop there. So those are my two thoughts.
So let me say two things. First, we don't know what our leverage is until you negotiate. Never do. Okay? You have to see how responsive the owner is and how they react and what pushback they give and what they're willing to accept. Okay? I do agree that we all have to vote whether that's the option we want to pursue, but I don't think we can vote on that until we know what the option really is. In other words, all this is a discussion with the owner. I really want to be clear. I'm not at all proposing we enter the negotiation and it's a binding negotiation.
Understood.
But we sit down and we say, let's discuss this. You've stated multiple times you're willing to build something in the character of the village. Again, the only concern I'm having, if we don't share this, then because it's something we've been talking about and thinking about, right? But the only thing that I'm concerned about is that we are limited by the ordinance in what we can control. That's the bottom line. We can go outside the ordinance and try to find other alternatives, which I think are great, okay? And I think that's really in the spirit of what we are as a commission. And I think that would be just such a great outcome for the block that I can't even express how positive that would be. But we should know what all of our options are, and nothing is precluding anything else. So
that's kind of what I said at the beginning.
Yeah.
One option that we might be able to pursue if it's appropriate, according to the village attorney.
But if we sit down and he says, I'm willing to take the original plans and build that house again, you know, with original materials, you know, exactly in the character of the block, but everything would be new.
Just move it over 10 feet so I can fit my driveway.
Move it over 10 feet so I have a bigger driveway. And, you know, we don't know what he'll accept. And we can't know until we have the conversation. So I'm in favor of having the negotiation sooner than later. My background is all business, so I would want to return on my money as fast as possible because it's a substantial amount of money.
Fair point.
Okay. But we don't know until we have the conversation. So I'm just trying to figure out if that's an option to have a conversation all within the framework, all within what's legal, all within the idea that there is no commitment. And it would take additional work on our part because the architects, plus everybody else, would have to agree, but I think it would be led by the architects on this commission, would have to say, here's what it means to build something in the character of this block, and here's something we could all agree is something that, you know, we'd enter into negotiations with.
I have asked this question in variation to the village attorney. So if the commission as a whole is going to negotiate with the homeowner. It has to happen in a public meeting. I think we're all clear on that.
Has to happen what?
In a public meeting.
Okay.
Like the one here. It's notice to the public, and you can all be here talking about commission business at the same time. In the event that the negotiations were going to be attached to the decision, it would need to happen within the public hearing process, right? That's part of the decision being made. And as we discussed previously, the public hearing process or the public hearing itself could be continued to other dates. Just keep in mind that we are concluding it within the 60 days, as discussed previously as well. Now, another option that I'll mention, just because the village attorney did bring it up, it's a more complicated one, but another option to negate some of the complications caused by the public meeting succession and negotiations is that the commission could grant staff some form of authority to work through some of the negotiations on like some expectation level, if that was desired.
Does that mean some expectations?
So, I these are the commission's expectations are X, Y, and Z of something that they would deem to be, something that you could settle upon for the negotiations, and I could relate that to the applicant in some form, so that by the time you get to the public meeting or the public hearing, that's not the first time that they're hearing a proposal. Does that make sense?
So staff has to be, can't be one of us, it has to be somebody who's an employee of the village, like yourself. Is that correct?
Correct.
That would be a more...
Outside of a public meeting, correct.
So the one option is we could schedule the public meeting maybe whenever possible or latest possible, however, whenever we do it. But in that meeting, we would have that discussion with the homeowner, with all the present. And so it would be a good, robust discussion, I'm assuming, based on everybody feels strongly about this. But it would go back and forth. Would we be able to prep for that if we did that option? In other words, is there a way for the architects to say, here would be, important characteristics? Like, I forget the name of the person who spoke at one of our early meetings, and she said, here's three things. I thought they were wonderful things, right? That's what we passed her note around last time, right? But they were very high level, right? And the people with that background would find those, right? And say here are important things for a house that mm-hmm. might be a replacement option. Would that have to take place in the context of the public hearing?
The question is, could the commission prep for that?
Yeah.
So could you be made aware of the applicant's proposal prior to the meeting?
No, could Commissioner Zarowski and David, say here's important characteristics of a house built in that time frame, eaves that look like this, no bigger than this size, these types of materials.
In that example, yes, because there's two of them, right?
Yeah,
so under the Illinois State Statute.
And we all look at it and comment on it, but it's passed to us one at a time, and we pass our comments back to you.
That makes me a little nervous.
I think
under that case, I'd like to get another opinion from the village attorney.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that the communication is that a discussion in regards to what the conditions entail should happen in an open meeting, because it's the opinion of all seven members.
Positions for negotiation.
I'm sorry?
What I would really want to get to is what would be the opening conditions for a negotiation?
Isn't it worth getting to the even more basic question of whether there is anything approaching majority support for engaging in the negotiation? Because, again, I could imagine a reasonable person saying there aren't any. There is no collection of plausible conditions in which I'm willing to go along and grant a certificate of appropriateness, period. And I'm not saying that's where I am or that's where I'm not. I'm joking a little bit about being reasonable. But the point is, isn't it worth determining whether that's even a path that's worth
that's supported
going down?
I'm okay with that. I mean,
yeah. I don't.
All I'm arguing is knowing our options. I'm not arguing about going down that path all the way. But okay, I'm willing to have that. I'm willing to have that.
I guess I'm wondering, to me, and again, and I don't mean to prejudge the negotiations to say, well, I already know they're going to come out well, or I already know they're going to come out poorly. What I mean to get at is whether there's anything approaching a majority that would be willing to vote one way or another based on the outcome of the negotiations, because I could imagine someone saying, you know, no, there's no world. You could, even if you were to rebuild the house, yeah, you know,
yeah, I
stone for stone.
Yeah, I would agree. Like Chairman McMahon, in no way would ever vote in support of the original chairman of this commission.
Right.
Well, there's no way that she would do it. So I think that's a really fair question to ask.
Then I'm willing to motion that.
I would say that no formal motion is needed. Jim, you know, if you'd like to take a straw poll, you're more than welcome, but no formal action is needed on that, just on the direction of your discussion.
So the question is anybody's mind already made up? Is that what you're asking? What are you asking?
It's a little different than mine already made up. It's more well, I suppose on this, what I perceive as a narrow question of whether
is a replacement building acceptable?
Yeah, under any circumstance, you know, under any reasonable circumstance. I mean, I guess we could assume that the homeowner could say, well, "I will literally rebuild the existing house, brick for brick, you know, floorboard for floorboard." I can't imagine that's where he's going, or that anyone would go there. So, under any reasonable set of circumstances. Are there folks who on the commission who would say, yes, you know, I can imagine reasonable circumstances where I would grant the certificate or no, you know?
With conditions.
Yeah, right, with conditions.
Well, you're talking about making up your mind. I'm pretty well at the point now where I'm prepared for demolition, as I told you before. I'm pretty convinced by what I've seen, what I've heard, and what I've read here. And I'm not a structural engineer, but as a layman, I can see debris, I can see neglect. I've been down there, I've looked at my own eyes, the photographs that we received with this analysis here, I think pretty well confirms what I saw with my own eyes. And while I'm a layman, I know debris when I see it, I know neglect when I see it. And I think this building is not worth saving. That's going to hurt many people's feelings. But I have a very strong feeling at this point that it's simply not worth saving. So our best bet, I think, is to negotiate with the present owner, who thus far has been very honorable. He's been very open. I think he's someone that we can deal with in a fair way. And of course, each side's going to try and get what. Let me make my point. But I think we're dealing with someone who's the people who did Mars. They refused to even come in and talk to us. And of course, we've changed the ordinance since then. But I think this gentleman is someone who's we've dealt with in an honorable. He's dealt with us in an honorable fashion, and I think this is someone we can negotiate with and make the best out of the situation and get a home there that looks, with the help of two architects, would fit in that block. I think that's a possibility, and that's the route I'm inclined to go down. That's where I'm at right now.
And I would like to add one thing to that, which is, I agree with everything, and I think he has been honorable, and I think he's taking a position that's very difficult. And I think he knows he's taking a position that's very difficult.
Yes.
But I also think he knew from the day that he purchased it that his preferred path was demolition.
I would say that is dishonorable, because that's not what he said to us.
No, I don't consider it dishonorable. Before he had finished closing, he had called John and asked questions about, you know, what the process was to get a certificate of application or of appropriateness. I don't think that's dishonorable. He's a businessman. He saw an opportunity. He came in. He was honest with John before he closed the house and said.
But that's not what he said to us.
No,
in public, at a public hearing.
No. What he said to us, I can square that circle in my mind, and I can understand why that's a hard circle to square. But what he said was, he was a little unsure, and when he called up John, he said, I want to understand the process for a certificate of appropriateness because I'm thinking about tearing it down.
or remodeling, haven't made my mind up. But he was starting the process pretty quickly. And I think that we're not going to convince him to refurb this house.
I think this gentleman dealt with us in the beginning. This was a business proposition. Yeah. He was never going to live in this structure. He made that very clear from the beginning. I never had any illusions that he would live here, and that I also had no illusions that it was going to be demolished. That was his preferred way of going. That was never a question in my mind, and I think he stated as much. And I think under the present rules, he followed all the rules that he had to follow. And on top of it, he's even going a little extra step. He invited us.
But Al, that's not what he said. He did not say that. He said that when he bought the house, he thought that he might be able to remodel it.
Well, that's what he said. What he told John was he was unsure. And the point comes to the same point, though, that Al made, which is I think what we're facing is a situation where this house is being torn down. That's the point that I'm trying to emphasize. I think however we try to dissect his motives, I think that the house is going to get torn down. The only question is whether we have controls.
I don't agree with that assumption. I don't agree with what you said, Commissioner Popowitz, either. I don't have to have dealt with these houses before. We had a letter from Mark Zinni, who's done 10 of these homes on this block. But I'm sure many of them in as bad a condition as this
If one. Not worse.
If not worse. It's so I disagree with your assumption that it's worthy of tearing down.
Okay.
Completely. 100%.
Okay. But do you disagree with that? Do you think that he is willing to refurbish the house?
He may come to the public hearing and hear the outcry and realize this is a bad thing for the community. I'm going to make it right. I don't know, but I'm going to find out after a public hearing, not
so
before.
Are we 2-2?
I would say what we've discovered is that there are two commissioners that support your idea, and I think I the others are still trying to figure out what the issues are.
I'm unwilling to prejudge anything before all the information is in front of us. Same point in time, I want to take the time to explore various alternatives, some of which may be creative, rather than assume by definition that the home will be lost. So I am in agreement with David and I think with Tom that the demolition is not a foregone conclusion. That's what our process is for. And we are also entitled to have disagreements amongst ourselves.
Yeah. But the question is, I think, I don't want to put words in Brian's mouth, but I think the question is, does where we sit as a commission mean that we are not going to have any negotiation or start any process of negotiation or trying to determine our position for negotiation? You know, in other words, do we want to take that component?
I would say that if you guys both think that it's a possibility, that it would behoove you to explore that if you think that it's something that you could support.
We need, but we need in order to set a position, we need guys who are smarter about architecture than us. I'm speaking for myself.
No, of course, to say
we're labor. Here would be a list of criteria. That would be a house that meets the character of the block.
And then we're sitting in a room with the guys that are going to do this. And is it inappropriate for us to even ask them if they'd be willing to consider conditions?
I think at the last meeting, Mr. Sarvis affirmed that he was willing to consider conditions.
We explicitly had that conversation.
Yes.
Okay. Confirm.
And he seemed very agreeable.
He's been very agreeable with everything. We asked that question exactly like that. We said, would you enter into negotiations on this? And he said, I absolutely would.
Yes.
I would just say too that to your question, Michael, the I think what I'm hearing is that there's four commissioners that are saying that they don't want to engage in negotiations prior to the hearing, but that doesn't mean that it's it's no longer an option after. I realize your point that you see a diminishing return in the negotiations as the time period moves forward, but it doesn't mean that they wouldn't ever. And then as Commissioner Zarowski put forward, that doesn't mean that you couldn't either. So got a live one.
Sorry.
So does that mean Al and I sit down and create our own list of things?
We're not qualified to do that. You know that. I'd like the architects to say, these are the conditions we would like to have. I don't know that I'm qualified to do that.
I would be happy if the architects on the commission said, these are the characteristics of houses on the block.
Yes.
There's something I think that's being lost here. With due respect to our ability to have differences of opinion, I don't think successful negotiations are ever started at the 50-yard line, already conceding that the only alternative is demolition, because I don't believe it is. We haven't explored other alternatives. That's what the hearing process is for. That's what the period of time in advance of the hearing process is for, to view those alternatives. And I think it behooves the commission to exercise its discretion in setting a period of time in order to have sufficient opportunity to explore other alternatives and to act accordingly after the public hearing has been held. That the ordinance calls for the negotiation process, if you will, during the period after the public hearing, not necessarily before. And I understand what you're saying. As someone who practiced commercial real estate law for 38 years as a negotiator, I fully understand that. And I represented developers for all of those 38 years.
But, okay, so then what are you recommending? How do we engage in the process of these other alternatives? Because I assume we have to engage in those within the framework of the commission structure too, no? I don't know what our next step is.
So
scheduling a meeting.
I think part of the challenge is individual commissioners going outside and chatting with the community, talking to people that they know who've done different things, talking to folks that have ideas.
The public hearing will bring some of those ideas, Tom. That's the
absolutely. And so we should come back to that public hearing with ideas in mind, and the community members. You know, we won't be able to talk to everybody. So I think, you know, that's certainly an opportunity for us to get smarter about the
whole
process.
Doesn't it behoove us, though, then to have this public hearing as soon as possible? Sooner rather than later?
Well, I think the point of that it needs to happen before Christmas.
Yeah, I was just going to mention that the window really isn't that big.
So it has to happen before Christmas. That's really where we're at. And, you know, it's, you know, the period between, you know, Thanksgiving and Christmas is
And given the fact that there's 15-day notice requirements in a variety of different areas, there's a difference of 10 to 12 days of which it can be scheduled, but it's really not vast.
There's a 2-week window.
So let's schedule the meeting.
Great idea.
Yeah.
And by the way, consistent with what John has been saying, just to sort of get it out there, in order to be consistent with the open meeting statutes and the spirit of them, any two of us can talk between ourselves. Three becomes prohibited because it's then considered to be a public meeting because it's a quorum. It's a majority of a quorum. So if any two of us want to have a discussion, that's fine. Serial discussions, though, as John suggested, in terms of sort of passing around a set of comments and then doing a chain letter, not really in the spirit sort of what's going on. And given the importance of the decision, probably better to both abide by both the letter and the spirit.
So Thanksgiving is November 23rd.
Yes.
How about the week after Thanksgiving?
Yes, definitely.
Yeah, so basically our window is, yep, our 2-week window is really kind of the 27th through the 8th. I mean, that's...
Excuse me, Chairman. I'll be out of town that week.
The week after Thanksgiving?
The week after Thanksgiving.
Good. There you go.
Yeah,
glad you're here.
It's terrible for me, too.
The week of the 27th? Is that where we're...
That's what I said is bad.
Yeah, I would...
So the week of the 4th.
And I would say the week of the 27th is too tight anyways.
Okay.
With the notice requirements. The week of the 4th, let me plug a date in there.
Perfect. And realistically, that's about as soon as we can do it anyway. Okay. So it kind of moots. I mean, if we can make it do it that week, sort of moots the discussion of...
Does that give enough time to look at these other options you want to consider, or are you saying that you want to do it after that period? In other words,
I think part of it is, I think that's our charge within the next month is to identify options.
By December 5th.
And by the way, part of the public hearing process is to invite options from the public. As well.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Are we thinking the 7th?
The 7th is a Thursday.
Or are we thinking the 5th?
What does the sports schedule say there?
I'm looking at the East Lake Studio party schedule.
So the one, the one conflict I know of on Thursday the 7th, and it's kind of no skin off my back, is that it's the Roosevelt Winter concert, and so that will draw some segment of the community.
Probably don't want to conflict with that. That's
right.
A good point.
I actually would prefer to conflict with it, but I digress.
Visions of sousaphones.
Wednesday the 6th?
The 6th, I can't do. There's already two other village meetings that evening, so I'd prefer not.
The 5th?
The fifth, we can, I think we can make work. So so this is what I would note. The 5th is going to be 28-ish days from here to there. So I would need to confirm that I could cause the notice to be published in the Wednesday Journal either next week or the 22nd might work, and the applicant would need to cause the mailings to be mailed in the next 10 days. I'm getting nods from the applicant. If we want to make the 5th work, I'll do everything in my power to make the 5th work.
John, what's the period of time of putting up the yard sign?
So the yard sign needs to be put in the yard 15 days prior to the public hearing and then remain there through the hearing process.
Mm-hmm. Do we have those?
No, we order them.
Okay.
We do have yard signs, but they say something very, very different from what this one will say.
It's 15 calendar days?
Correct, yeah. So, again, Dave, I think our friends over at Roberta's could get that together for us, I would imagine. So, like I said, the 5th is tight, but if that's...
The 12th could be a backup.
The 5th or the 12th?
Could be a backup, yeah.
Okay. If you
does
guys
the 12th work for you guys?
Yeah.
Sorry.
Does the 12th work?
December the 5th or December the 12th?
I can't make it the
12th. I start to have family coming.
Yeah,
okay.
I can't make it the 12th.
So I will do everything that is humanly possible to make the 5th work. And part of that will be the cooperation of the applicant in most literally the coming days. So
we'll get the mailing out.
Okay. All right, so let's put a pencil on the 5th. My next question for the chairman would be, are we comfortable holding the meeting in this room?
No.
So we would like the meeting to be, do you have a suggestion? In the past we've used?
One of the schools.
Yep.
Correct. Okay, so then it's also contingent
dependent
on
upon.
The fact that I can get a room somewhere really quickly, because that needs to be included in the notices that I have to send. For print and for print. So
that's your first call tomorrow morning?
Absolutely. So no preference on there, but so, yeah. Okay. I'll try Lincoln first, and then if
Concordia, is that an option, a viable option?
Concordia is an option. We usually try to use the schools first.
Okay.
They're
paying the right hand?
Yeah, they're co-government bodies, so we usually start there, but... if not, Concordia might be a good solution if we run into a pinch. I'm sure I can find a room.
Lincoln,
I just need to do it quickly.
Us.
Okay. The 5th.
And I will let everybody know, meaning this commission and the applicant know, as soon as I can, working through those things.
Okay. I have a question I guess I should just ask, just to be curious. Are we allowed to have conversations with the applicant one-on-one, or is that not allowed?
Yes.
Sure.
And then again, I know we noted this last time, but just the fact that since this will be the first public hearing for this commission, first formal public hearing, once we send the notices, bar, you know, true emergencies, we're committed to meeting that date, and you know, need to meet a quorum. So I'm, you know, I know everybody's on board with that. I just want everybody to know that there's a lot of.
But we do have one commissioner who's not here.
Yeah.
And 7 o'clock.
Seven, yep.
Is this going to go long? Do we want to start a little earlier?
I think it's difficult to start meetings like this any earlier with people.
Right.
Coming home from work.
Supper, kids.
Yeah.
All that.
Yeah, and per the words of Commissioner Franek previously, we can have you know, some policy in place to keep that meeting moving. I'll leave that up to the chairman, but, you know, 3 minutes, whatever we need to do to make sure the public comment moves forward. Yeah, I think that's all I have.
Okay. Enough said?
Yeah, and okay. Like private conversations, you're not speaking as representing the board in any way.
I understand that.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I would just, again, I will let everybody know that, yes, we're good to go, and if something is out of my control to make that happen, I'll let you know that too. But
okay, thanks.
Yep.
Ongoing commissioner assignments, more exciting stuff. Library presentations. Al.
We met with Joe Kremel, who's the Village of Oak Park TV manager, in his closet loaded with electronic equipment and so on. We must have spent how many hours there? We had 2-3 hours there.
Yeah, so just to fill everybody in, Al kind of you know, made me aware that he had some things in the works, a presentation, which he went through the painstaking process of adding audio recording to each slide. And so we went to Oak Park to meet with their communications team, who, you know, obviously they have a much more in-depth one than we do here, and tapped one of those resources to try to find out how we could cause that PowerPoint to be you know, condensed into a movie with those slides and the audio all synced up. Cool. I think we found that solution. I'm in the process of you know, completing that solution. There's some time needs to be spent to clean up all the audio and the slides so that when it gets compressed to a movie, it all flows smoothly. So I'm in the process of working on that for Al's first, you know, Historic Buildings 1, so that we can preserve that video for others to see that presentation.
And at this point, I'd like to personally thank Jonathan for all the help that he's given me getting us to this point in time. There's no way I could have done it without his help. And I just think the board should recognize what a tremendous resource he is.
Be it noted in the notes that the commission clapped for John.
Not that they'll ever hear it, but thanks to Oak Park, who opened their doors and welcomed us in. So I don't think either Al or I could have figured out how to do that without some of their guidance.
No. Yeah.
You said you had started on a third presentation, Al?
Actually, I've got four.
Four?
Right now, we're working on one and getting it ready for YouTube. I was told the presentation was too long for YouTube. People don't have a long enough patience for a long program, so I cut it back. And if anyone's ever heard their voice on recorded, it's a big disappointment. I thought I sounded like Garrison Keillor. When I heard myself, I realized I was closer to Daffy the Duck. So anyway.
And then I had to tell Al that I had no idea who that was.
Got him in an interview.
Nice.
We've had fun working. Yeah.
But anyway, the point is, let's just get one going. And let's just get this done. This has been a learning experience. And then we're ready for, then we'll go on to two, et cetera, et cetera. But let's get River Forest on the map. That's the main thing.
Sounds good. Somebody sent something out about economic incentives for preservation.
I sent that. I saw the article in the Tribune, and I thought that we should be aware of it. And then,
is that threatened, or is that?
It's not happened. It's threatened by the.
It's threatened.
By the people right. in power.
Right.
Yeah, it's just one of 400 terrible ideas baked into the crappy. Tax bill that no one likes.
That's right.
Well put. Well put.
Tell us how you feel. Well,
it leaves us lawyers out of all the tax breaks, so it occupies an especially bad place in my mind.
And also architects are left out also.
Correct.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Well, let's pick on the architects and the lawyers.
It's a bad idea.
It never works. Not to mention it hurts children and small animals. Yeah. And
all citizens of the state of Illinois, you know.
Yeah.
You know, right.
Yeah, just general facts.
Right.
Let's talk about the map.
So here's where I'm at on things. You guys, and I know I'm jarring memories here from, I think, the last meeting in September. We looked at a couple proposals. I think, listening to the audio, to be honest, I think I... misrepresented maybe that I was trying to convince anybody. I was making a recommendation that we felt was most appropriate. I think at one point Chairman Zarowski, told me to defend it almost, right? And that's just fine, but it's also not my place. That's what staff was most comfortable with.
Okay.
If everybody else, though, is more comfortable with the other proposal, which was, I believe her name's Holly Anderson, I hope I'm not getting that wrong, then let's just do that. I mean, there's no sense in anything else. So, there, again, if we remember correctly, that was the more...
slightly more expensive.
It was, but I think more importantly, it's a more in-depth procedure of the design aspect.
Right.
I will note that from my memory, the one negative point that the commission pointed out was that she had made some suggestions as to what she saw to be best fit, including she had suggested in her proposal to make, for example, the pictures of the homes black and white. And, I know maybe some from the audio it sounded like some commissioners disagreed with that. Not to say that we couldn't convince her otherwise or ask her to do something else. I mean, we
could.
Holly Anderson.
Thank you.
Consistent with the concept of prioritizing bullets, given the fact that we've got kind of a reverse clock with respect to 747 William, I would probably be in favor of, to the extent that we've got limited resources and effort and focus on all the good stuff, focusing on 747 William, given the fact that the map is intended to spur folks just walking around the village. And that's probably not going to occur at its earliest until the spring. Notwithstanding the recent mild winters, I haven't seen a lot of people snowshoeing through checking out the houses.
Right. But I'm not sure how much of our time this is going to take.
Okay.
Sounds like it's something that we can get them started. And
I think if everybody is comfortable using that designer, then I'll get the process started with her as my time allows from 747. And then we can, even if she starts that and we don't, meet on it until
let's
after.
Talk. Yeah, yeah, maybe we start it after the holidays.
Right,
maybe that's the way to do it.
But I guess if you guys, so would you like to wait to make the decision till then?
No, let's make the decision now and just say that's our plan, that we're going to be busy with 747 for the next couple months.
Okay.
And that if she wants to get started, she can, but we'll have limited resources because we're going to be stretched for time.
All right, I'm hearing that. I have that authority from the village administrator. If there, is there any objections? I guess let me throw it out that way. I will start to re-engage her in that process.
Right.
Okay.
OK. Carl is not here to talk about at-risk properties. Anybody know anything about anything we've talked about? 344 Keystone, 914 Ashland. There was a contingent.
Yes. Yeah,
back on the market?
I don't know if it's at risk, though.
With resident Jan Sager sharing that 914 Ashland is back on the market, okay, and that she doesn't know if it's been there very long.
I don't think it has.
Okay.
Sure.
River Forest Women's Club is still on.
How long has that been on the market?
A couple years at least.
There's a danger there. If something stays on the market that long, they might be desperate to do other things.
Website.
Sure. So we've talked about this briefly, but for the whole commission, the back end is pretty much finalized. The content's pretty much cut over. So staff's in the process of editing some of those up now, some of the new features, using some of the new layout to our best benefit for a launch date in the near future, hopefully roughly the next month. So my plan is to take all of the content that we have, organize it on the website so that we can relaunch that with all the best things, and then certainly once it's live, it's all editable. So I guess what I would suggest, just in the interest of time with 747 and the timeline with the website, I'll handle that to reorganize it. Certainly going to include a lot more pictures on there per the suggestion, and try to reorganize some of the PDFs and information there. And then once it's live to the public, we can continue to revisit it and better it as we go.
Sounds great, John.
Window replacement, there haven't been any.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a village walk idea.
Okay, so I have a question. I wasn't considering this village walk. I thought this was kind of a waste of like time type of historic value going on there, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I've been slow because of my son's wedding and all the time that this has been taking. But I sat down and tried to figure out who I need to talk to in Oak Park and the historic the preservation committee in Oak Park. And that all was going well, and then we had the October 19th joint boards and commissions workshop. I don't know if you guys were briefed on that, but what that did is it brought together a bunch of commissioners from the different commissions, and it was a really interesting process. But it essentially ended with a prioritization of what would be important for the village to move forward on. And the thing that stood out was, you know, the desire to increase the tax base, get more awareness of the village. These were kind of the common things. But there are some strong people who had strong opinions about becoming Oak Park, was kind of the shortened way of saying it, right? We don't want people to really, you know, be coming into the village. We don't want, you know, to be going crazy here. Do we need to do so? I held back on the thinking maybe we should talk about this a little bit. Like, do we need to coordinate in any way with the broader village objectives, or do we need to coordinate in any way with some of these other commissions? Because some people were saying this very strongly, you know, we don't want to be Oak Park. We really don't want people, you know, we don't want a public relations plan for the village, because then everybody will know who we are and they'll be coming. And it's easy to sit here and chuckle, but you're sitting there, the commissioner saying this, and you're like, I don't know, you know.
I would say that I kind of heard two things from both the village boards and the joint board and commissions meeting on the comp plan. I think one of them is part of what I heard, and some of this is anecdotal, that we don't want to become Oak Park in the sense of presenting it, but I would also say that there's some people that I heard represent that they don't want to become Oak Park in terms of trying to create some separation in the identity. So they did want to increase River Forest identity, but as
separate and unique.
Exactly. So
I didn't hear that.
Yeah, no, which is fair.
Was that comments outside of the meeting, you're saying, or because I certainly didn't hear that.
Well, and again, I am blending two meetings. So the village board had the same meeting that you guys had with the exact same activities, but just with the eight members of the Village Board of Trustees. So, you know, some of those things were going into marketing.
Because Kathy Aducci is very supportive of, I would say, very supportive of exactly what you're talking about.
Okay.
Sure.
That, I just don't know, right?
But, so, I feel the same.
And I would encourage you to talk to her about it. If you have any doubt.
Yeah, well,
yeah.
Her assurance, because I assume it's great. It'd be great to talk to her at some point. I've never met her, but the important thing is I don't want to be doing this and then somebody turns around and says, "What? You know, we're going to have a, you know, yeah."
And maybe
no way that's happening.
And maybe right. somebody yeah. does. I can't promise you that nobody would, but I would agree with.
I mean, one of significance.
Sure.
You know what I mean? If that's not
I would agree that that that, okay. that would be the.
There will always be somebody that thinks that.
Right.
Okay.
But at the same, I didn't know how to take the same time, absolutely a project of enough magnitude that you might decide at some point to share it with the Village President, and I'm sure she'd be very receptive of that.
It's not at all at that point.
Yeah. Exactly.
I just
exactly.
got nervous.
Cool.
Is all
and,
out there. Okay.
Yeah. Cool.
And the comp plan is a long process, but when it's done, I'm sure it might have something that you can use as guidelines in your project too.
That'd be great. Okay. Then I'll be reaching out and having those conversations. It should have something to report. Do we have a regular meeting on the 5th, or is that just going to be a public hearing?
Well, I'll leave that up to the chairman. So what we related last time, it is most like it could be a regular meeting. So we'd hold the public hearing. In that case, I would prepare a second agenda for a regular meeting and note that it is going to occur at the conclusion of the public hearing, immediately following. Now, I would warn against the fact that that could make it a very long night.
Yeah,
we're just going to have no appetite after hours.
And the people may not stay. Want to stay that long?
Well, the public can leave.
People, including me,
they do already.
They just leave.
Yeah, but it's a public hearing.
It's us.
If they have to wait until 8 o'clock or something.
Well, the public hearing would go first, but yeah,
he's saying that. Yeah.
So I think what I'm hearing is that we will not do.
I heard it wrong.
Okay. Well, by December 5th, I'll try to have progress.
And you can always, if you have some notes on there, I'd say that's appropriate to circulate via email. You know, so.
Yep.
I just have two quick other orders of business. The comp plan, I would encourage everybody to visit the comp plan website. There's a lot of cool stuff on there. There's a tool called map.social, which lets you circle and note and direct all kinds of different things around the village, things that you think are important. It's a GIS tool that I'm kind of showing you here. All sorts of different tools that let you show what you think is important all over the village, make all kinds of notes, things like that. In addition to that, there is a questionnaire as well as some other information about what's going on with the comp plan. For those of you that either attended or maybe could not attend the joint boards and commissions meeting, there is a village-wide one being held on November 16th at the KCC at Concordia that's open to anybody. Please attend if you can, if you'd like to. I encourage everybody you know to attend. The comp plan has a really long shelf life. It usually has at least a 10-year shelf life. The one we have now has had a 20-year shelf life. So as its title suggests, it's very comprehensive. And as stakeholders in the community, we'd love your input to
what's,
it.
What's the website, John? What's it?
If you just go to the vrf.us, it's the first thing on the homepage there.
And
it's probably the easiest way to get to it.
The process is awesome. It really is. That consultant was amazing.
Question.
John Housiel's a resident, so it's...
I didn't know he was a resident, too. He was amazing.
Question. Do we want to schedule a commission meeting between Thanksgiving and the public hearing in order to discuss process as well as anything that we have been individually or collectively been able to glean about possible alternatives to demolition?
Probably a good idea.
Yeah.
We can.
Yeah.
Basically, that's the purpose of that meeting.
Yep.
Nothing else.
Yeah.
So,
short agenda.
Well, I would say, so if we've chosen Tuesday the 5th, the Thursday after Thanksgiving is November the 30th.
Yeah.
Let me check village calendars real quick. I really doubt it's a fifth of things, so there's usually not things on the 5th for obvious reasons. It looks pretty open here, so I can make that happen if that's what the commission is. Am I getting nods?
This is at the 30th?
Yeah.
Thursday the 30th?
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Okay.
Okay.
Is the board meeting?
That'll be at 7 here.
It's a board meeting, but the agenda is limited to...
be a commission meeting, yep. With a single item being the discussion of the public hearing.
Yep.
Okay. Quick one.
It's got to be public, doesn't it?
Oh, yes. I can't promise that. That one's out of my control, but... Yeah, okay.
So I'm sorry, so we're saying...
Thursday, November 30th, 7 o'clock, right here. We'll set a public meeting for... a regular meeting of the Historic Preservation Commission. The only item on the agenda will be that. My last order of business is, just so everybody's aware, I don't know what level to you're aware already, District 90 is planning to add an addition on Willard School. As some of you probably already know, there's parts of that school that are only one story that were built that way, ready for expansion, and they're ready to add on one of those expansions that includes a little bit more one-on-one space to work with students and two more classrooms. That project, although it does not meet the requirement, it's less than 20% of the facade. Given the applicant and the situation, will come before the commission sometime in the future. I've seen preliminary drafts of those plans that include, you know, from what I can tell, the same brick. But I'm sure others will have other comments. So we'll see that probably sometime in January, I would guess. That's all I have, the 30th and the 5th.
Any other new business?
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
I forgot to mention last time, our illustrious leader has won yet another AIA award for his great work.
Whoa.
Congratulations, Tom.
We again note the record that there was
all in favor of adjournment?
Thanks, Tom.
Aye.